नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय
हरे कृष्ण ऑन बिहाफ ऑफ आवर बिलोवेड गुरुदेव हिज डिवाइन ग्रेस एसी भक्ति विदांत स्वामी प्रभुपाद We are very grateful to welcome all of you tonight to Sri Radha Gopinath Mandir's Janmashtami celebration. In the fourth chapter of Sri Bhagavad Gita, Krishna tells, Janma karma cha me divyam evam yo veti tattvata. Tyaktva deham punara janma naiti mam eti sora juna. One who understands the transcendental nature of the Lord's appearance and activities does not take birth again in this material world, but attains the supreme destination. Abrahma bhuvana loka punar avatunojana mamupetya. In this verse, Krishna tells that from the highest planet in this material existence down to the lowest, they are all places of great suffering. Why suffering? Because the spirit soul is part of God. Mamaivam so jiva loke jiva buddha sanat. The jivatma is eternal, full of knowledge and full of bliss. The constitutional nature of every living being is to seek happiness, everlasting happiness. But janma mrityu jara vyadhi dukkha dosha anudarshana. In this world, everything is temporary. Therefore, there can be no true happiness. And what is the nature of pleasure in this world? It is a sensation to the senses, to the mind, to the ego. But temporary pleasures give no satisfaction whatsoever to the Atma or the soul. So it is illusory. What is it that gives happiness to the soul? We are the soul. The body is always changing. Dehinosmin yatha dehe komaram yovaram jara. We're born, we grow as little children, then we have our adolescence, our careers, our families, grow old, and ultimately, death is inevitable, whoever we may be, whatever we may have accomplished. That is reality. Whether you're healthy, whether you're wealthy, whether you're wise, like everyone else, it's just a matter of a little time. The soul is seeking truth. And what is truth? Krishna tells that in the fourth chapter of Gita also. When you have thus learned the truth, you will know that all living beings are in me, of me, and mine. Truth is to understand who we are, not this ever-changing body, but the witness, the true self that is animating this body. And to understand its relation with the Supreme Self, or God. That is truth. Whatever we do, whatever we speak, whatever we think, it is based on truth when we have the realization that we are that eternal soul and we have a loving relationship with God. Love is expressed through service. When you love someone, you are willing to make any sacrifice for the pleasure of the beloved. And that brings happiness. Selfish happiness can only go as far as the flickering mind. But the happiness of service to the soul of others and to the Supreme Soul of God, that is the ecstasy that every living being is longing for. We are by nature spiritual. But Maya, the illusory energy, like a cloud, has covered our true understanding. But the Lord is so kind. Yada yada hi dharmasya glanir bhavati bharata abhyuta nama dharmasya tadatmanam srijam yaham. He comes to this world again and again and again. In various places according to time, place, and circumstance, and reveals the essence of religion, the path of truth, Sanatan Dharma. One who understands this principle can never be sectarian. Krishna appears in different times and repeats the same message in different languages according to the traditions of that place and reveals according to the capacity of that civilization to understand different capacities of knowledge. Sometimes he teaches the first standard level of Sanatan Dharma. And at other times he may teach the PhD standard of Sanatan Dharma. But the sectarianism, the fanaticism in this world in the name of religion is nothing but ignorance of God in the name of God. If a person has awakened even an atomic particle of love of God within his or her heart, it would be impossible to hate anyone. Because every living being is a child of God. Hatred is darkness. Darkness can only exist in the absence of the sun. Sanatan Dharma is the universal religious principle. What does it mean? Dharma is not just one's occupation. Dharma is one's identity.
that which cannot be separated from the identity of someone is one's dharma. Guru Maharaj made it very simple. The dharma of a chili pepper is it is hot. The dharma of water, it is liquid. In an artificial condition, it may become solid. But as soon as you take it out of that cold, it becomes liquid. You don't have to make it liquid. It just becomes, because that is its nature. What is the dharma of every living being? To serve. We cannot live without service. We are serving our country, or our family, or our friends, or our mind, or the dictation of the senses. But we are always serving. But these are all temporary forms of service. But for the soul, our identity or Sanatana Dharma is to serve God. So the Lord comes to this world for one simple purpose, to teach us how to be happy. That's really all. Because the Supreme Absolute Truth is Atmaram. He's always blissful. He's Rasabihari. He's enjoying the highest loving pleasures in the spiritual world. We, by our own free will, have chosen to abandon our natural relationship with Him, to neglect gratitude toward that person who is giving us everything we have and all that we are, and act in various egoistic ways and think we're something cool. God does not need us. But the Lord descends in this world because His love is unconditional. And He wants to give each and every living being happiness. And how to achieve that happiness, He's revealing in this verse. One who simply understands the transcendental nature of my appearance and activities in this world will become happy. Never suffer again birth and death. The Lord has descended in so many incarnations as Yuga Avatar to establish the particular religion of the age, as Manu Avatar to actually give the proper direction and order to society. As Lila Avatar, to perform beautiful pastimes. Guna Avatar, in order to conduct the whole affairs of the material creation by supervising the three modes, the gunas. Purusha avatars, incarnates within the universal creation for the purpose of creating everything that exists. Shaktivesh avatars. The Lord appears in His own devotee's heart and gives that devotee the power to reveal His grace to the world. And amongst these avatars, many are well known. Vamana Dev, Narasingha Dev, Ramchandra, the son of Dasarat. The Srimad Bhagavatam gives a great list of the different incarnations of the Lord. But that list culminates. Ete changsha kalapungsha krishnastu bhagavan swayam. That there are many, many incarnations of the Lord. but the source, the fountainhead of all incarnations is Krishna. What does this mean? God is one. There cannot be two gods. The demigods are living beings like us with very, very good karma. And that karma gives tremendous power. And they are deputed as departmental heads of the universal creation under Lord Brahma, who is acting under the empowered direction of the Lord. So there are many demigods, but there is only one God. And that God appears in different forms, in different incarnations, in different times and places. But Krishna is so special. How could he be the origin of himself? Hare Krishna. If all incarnations are none different than God, and they all have their own Vaikuntha planet, which is ever existing, how could Krishna be the origin? We are speaking qualitatively. Srila Rupa Goswami explains the special glory of Krishna. The Jivatma, the living entity, that is Tatastha Shakti. Tatastha Shakti means we are part of God. And as a part, we are between the material energy and the spiritual energy, the Antaranga Shakti and the Bahiranga Shakti. Srila Prabhupada gives a very nice example, just like at Chopati Beach. When the waves come, there is sand. That sand, right on the shore, when the water washes over it, it becomes the sea. When it's dry, it's the beach. Same sand, in one situation, it's the sea. And in another situation, it's the beach. So we are like that. When we turn our loving propensities toward God, then we come under the subordination of the spiritual energy, which infuses us with unlimited enthusiasm to love and to serve. But when we turn in another direction, toward our own selfish interests, then we fall under the subjugation of the Bahiranga Shakti, the material energy. And that material energy, like a dense fog, covers any trace of perception of who we really are, who God is, and what real happiness is. In that fog, we're simply trying to find happiness, trying to avoid suffering through so many various ventures. This is the Jivatma. We are by nature of the same substance as the Lord, but the Lord is great and we are infinitesimal parts. He is Vibhu, we are Anu. When the spark is in the fire, it glows with the fire. But when the spark is separated from the fire, it goes out. Lord Krishna in the scriptures has revealed what is the scientific understanding of the nature of the soul and God. In the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, Rupa Goswami extracts this from the Vedas, that the jiva soul, which is all of us, in our perfected state, we have the capacity to manifest 78% of the opulences of Krishna. What are the opulences of Krishna? Parasara Muni describes in Vishnu Purana, Aishwaryasya samagrasya viryasya yashashashriya jnana vairagya yashchaiva sanam bhaga dingana. The Absolute Truth possesses six opulences in fullness. Wealth. The Lord is the proprietor of everything that exists. All material and spiritual worlds. If someone is wealthy in this world, it's very attractive. But what can we possess? A little land, a building, some paper money, little power. But when disease comes, what can our money do? So many of the wealthiest people, they cannot cure. Oftentimes the wealthiest people in the world, they can't even keep their family together. Helpless. What is our wealth? If we really own something, we have control. That means nothing and no one can take it away. But at the time of death, everything is taken away. So in truth, we cannot own anything. We can lease some things for the time being. But when you lease something, the owner has the power to take it away. Because in the laws of nature, there are no squatter's rights. There are no tenant's rights. Death comes, everything's gone. Krishna tells in Gita, the Supreme Lord is death personified. But Krishna explains Sarva Loka Maheshwaram, that God, the definition of God, is the proprietor of everything that exists. So he has all material and spiritual worlds. The Lord has supreme wealth, supreme power, supreme fame, supreme knowledge. Vedaham samatitani varatamanani charjuna. Babashani chabutani mamtu medakashtana. What is our knowledge? We may have MA, PhD. We may know what the newspapers say. We may have read libraries of books. But Krishna tells that God knows everything past, present, and future. Everything. He knows every thought, every inclination of every living being simultaneously and thoroughly. That is the knowledge of God. The Lord is supremely renounced and supremely beautiful. People are attracted to beauty, but how long does it last? When I was a little boy in America, so many famous movie actors and movie actresses were there. People wanted to see them. But what do they look like now? People may want to see their photos, but not live in person. No matter how much wealth they had, no matter how many facelifts and massage therapies and everything else, they are old. And ultimately, dead. What is our beauty? And another thing, no matter how beautiful you may think you are, you can only attract a certain type of person. It's just tuned into your particular type of beauty. But Krishna is supremely beautiful. He's Navayovanam Cha. He's eternally youthful. His beauty is ever increasing, forever. And he attracts every living entity. Every species of life is attracted to a particular type of beauty. Why? Because the soul within the heart is part of Krishna. Ultimately, everyone is only attracted to Krishna. But when we don't recognize that it's actually Krishna in illusion, it causes bondage. But when we realize that we're really attracted to Krishna and repose that inclination toward Krishna, that is the supreme liberation. Krishna is supremely beautiful. So he has all the opulences that make a person attractive in full. Therefore, he is Bhagavan. The Jivatma, when it attains a state like Lord Brahma, or beyond that in the spiritual world, the Jivatma can manifest 78% of Krishna's opulences in minute quantity. And beyond the Jivatma, our transcendental personalities that the Jivatma can never become because we are constitutionally different. We can become demigods. We can become great in this world by good karmas. We can even come to the point of being Lord Brahma. Or we can be eternal servants of the Lord in the spiritual world. But we can never attain the state of being Lord Shiva. Because Lord Shiva is Vishnu himself manifesting partial opulences. Lord Shiva reveals 84% of the Lord's opulences. Not to a full degree, but to a very great degree. And Lord Vishnu, Narayan, Ramchandra, and others like that, Lord Narayan manifests 94% of the opulences of the Absolute Truth in full, in total. But the son of Nanda, Krishna, who resides eternally in Goloka, the highest planet in the spiritual world, is eternally manifesting 100% of all opulences in full. The sweetness of Krishna's pastimes, the beauty of Lord Krishna's threefold bending form, the wonderful, wonderful, deep, spontaneous devotion of his devotees, and the absolutely enchanting song of Krishna's flute is unique only to Krishna. In Vaikuntha, the land of Lord Narayan, it is a perfect spiritual world that is eternally beyond material inebrities. It is Haridham. There everything is Sachidananda. It is Aishwaryadham. It is the place where the Lord manifests his supreme majesty as the all-powerful God of all gods. But by the Lord's own sweet will, he reveals an abode even higher than that. And that is Krishna Loka, Vrindavan, Svetadvip, various names. In that abode, the Lord's Aishwarya, his supreme powerful majesty as the absolute, becomes subordinate to his Madhurya Leela, to his sweet pastimes. that Madhurya Dham is so very special. Because in order to have deeper, more intimate experience of love
with God,
the Lord, by His Yogamaya Potency, or His Lila Shakti, He covers His Supreme Majesty so that we can intimately love Him as a friend, as a parent, or as a lover. In Goloka, to worship the Lord as the Supreme is considered a type of sentiment that cripples the highest and sweetest service to the Lord.
We have to go through that stage of realizing the supremacy of God.
But beyond that, in Goloka, Krishna's friends, they consider Krishna to be just one of them. They play together. From common experience in this world, an analogy can be applied. If someone is a judge in a courtroom, people will come before him and offer all respects and do whatever he says and honor him as such. But amongst his friends, nobody's honoring him. They're equals. Yes?
But doesn't he enjoy being with them more than the people that honor him? And don't the people that are his friends enjoy his relationship more?
And then there are the parents. The parents love him even more than the friends do. And they're telling him what to do and what not to do. Yes? And beyond that is a lover.
The lover usually doesn't say, "Your Honor." She usually says, "Why did you come home so late? I've been waiting. Dinner is waiting. Oh, I'm sorry." Whatever it takes to please her.
So spontaneous love, intimate love, is far sweeter. And it is that type of love of God that is found exclusively in Goloka Vrindavan, in Krishna. Therefore, yes, Krishna's sweetness makes him supreme of all other manifestations of himself. Today is Janmashtami. It is such a sacred day. No human mind can ever fully calculate its value. Because on this day, Lord Krishna descended from the highest of all spiritual planets, Goloka, to this world. And it is so rare. The Lord manifests various types of incarnations often in this world.
We have described the Guna avatars, the Purusha avatars, the Lila avatars, the Shaktivesh avatars, the Manu avatars.
But in his original transcendental form, he comes to this world to attract us to his pastimes of Vrindavan. How often? Once in a day of Brahma. The Shastras tell us a day of Brahma is 4,320,000,000 years. And the night of Brahma is of the same duration. So once in over 8 billion years,
the Lord appears in his original form as Krishna. It's the son of Devaki, Vasudev, and Nanda and Yashoda. And what is so special? When he comes in this form, he reveals his Vrindavan pastimes. He reveals the sweetest abode of Vrindavan. Because the Lord does not come alone. His abode of Vrindavan actually descends into this world with all of its glory. And he brings his whole entourage of associates. His Ladini Shakti, his self-same pleasure potency, Srimati Radharani. His own expansions, Balaramji, and the principal cowherd boys. Srimati Radharani's personal expansions of Lalita and Vishaka. And she expands in parental affection as Yashoda. These are the very personalities that are exchanging the most intimate, sweetest lila with the Lord in the spiritual world, and they're all coming here to this world. Why? This little tiny speck of an earth planet. Unbelievable. If you're really an important person, why would you take so serious one little speck of a place? Yes? Considering the spiritual world within this material existence, which is outside of the spiritual world, there are unlimited universes. And amongst and within each and every one of these universes, there are unlimited planets within the 14 planetary systems. And this earth is just a tiny little speck within a universe, which is just a tiny little speck within the galaxies of universes. But yet Krishna personally brings his eternal abode with his most intimate, loving associates here. Krishna appeared just at the end of the Dwapara Yuga. Prabhupada said only 5,000 years ago. Now some of us think 5,000 years is a long time ago. It's practically prehistoric by our calculations. But considering he comes only once every 8 billion plus years, 5,000 years is like a few minutes ago. But that day that he appears, how glorious. He comes to shower the supreme blessings on all living beings. He comes to attract our hearts back to his eternal loving service. Yes. Krishna simultaneously appeared in Mathura and Gokul, Vrindavan. On this day, in the prison cell of Kamsa, Vasudeva and Devaki, who had proven their devotion through so many trials and tribulations, became the mother and father of God. He first appeared as Lord Narayan from the womb of Devaki, or actually from the heart of Devaki. There was no labor pains. She was pregnant, and then the Lord, he can do anything. He entered into her heart through the mind of her husband. There was not even physical contact. The Lord, who has created all of existence, can utilize any facility he wants according to his wish. And then when it was a very, very, very auspicious time of his desire, he simply appeared out
fully decorated with golden crown and beautiful ornaments, silken garments, flower garlands. Has anyone ever seen a baby come out of the womb with flower garlands? Usually they have all kinds of other stuff around them. That is Krishna. But still, Vasudeva and Devaki, they had such parental affection for the Lord. Even though they knew he was the Lord, Devaki was still feeling, I am your mother. And if Kamsa sees you like that, then he'll know who you are and he may harm you. So please change your form and disguise yourself as a little baby. So Krishna became baby. But what kind of baby? The Lord has all his potencies and all of his opulences in whatever form he takes. Vasudeva brought Krishna across the Yamuna to Vrindavan. A few days later, the great terrorist, murderist Putana, who made all the terrorists of this day today like insignificant fleas. She was really gruesome, cruel, and murderous. And she had mystical powers. Krishna was only a couple days old. Just one little squeeze and one little suck, and she was dead. Sri Krishna Bhagavan Ki Jai. And he was just a child, just playing with his friends, hardly a couple years old. Balaram and the friends told Yashoda Mai that in a secluded place, Gopal was eating dirt. Oh, Yashoda Mai was so worried because she loved Krishna as her son. Gopal, why did you eat dirt? Don't you know you may get sick, you may die? I cannot allow this. I give you so many nice preparations made of ghee and milk and grains. Why you eat dirt? Why you are so naughty? She was beside herself, worrying. He may die. Gopal said, I didn't eat dirt. But Balaram says you eat dirt. And all your friends say you eat dirt. They're always defending you. Why would they say, they're angry with me, but I didn't eat dirt. If you want to see for yourself, look in my mouth. Yashoda Mai opened his mouth, and she looked very carefully. Now, Gopal, so sweet, he actually did eat dirt. So you may say, did he lie? How could God lie? God cannot lie. God is the absolute truth. The absolute truth can never have any untruth. Yes? On the relative plane, there is truth and there is lie. But in the absolute truth, Krishna is all good. Whatever Krishna does is for the ultimate pleasure and welfare of all. Yes? He wanted to increase Yashoda Mai's ecstatic love. And he wanted to taste the nectar of the sweetness of her love. So he spoke like this. But then when she went to look in his mouth, what if she saw the dirt? Because the dirt was there in his mouth. So just to distract her from seeing the dirt, he manifested the entire creation within his mouth. Hare Krishna. She saw all the planets, all the mountains, the oceans, the seas, all living entities. She even saw all of Vrindavan. She even saw herself looking in Krishna's mouth.
So when everything else is there, she really didn't take note of the dirt. But she was beside herself. What am I seeing? How is this possible? He's my little Gopal. All the planets, all the seas, all the oceans, all the mountains, all living beings, I'm seeing them all. She had folded hands. She was trembling, offering prayers. What's happening to me? Is this a dream? It can't be a dream because my eyes are open. Is somebody putting me under a spell? No, it can't be that, because everything is so fine. Maybe my mind has become deranged. No, because I'm performing all my duties quite properly. What is the reason? Huh? Gargarishi. He predicted during the name-giving ceremony that my child Krishna was the Supreme Lord, Narayan, who has come to this world. He comes so many times to deliver the devotees, give pleasure to his servants, annihilate the demons, and reestablish principles of religion. She said that he would perform superhuman, unbelievable activities. Is this what it is? Is this what I'm seeing? I'm looking into the mouth of God himself, or a very, very, very great personality? She thought about it for an instant and rejected it. Impossible. This Gargarishi, he can say what he likes, but he doesn't know. I know who is my Gopal. He could say anything. But when there's lightning, Gopal cries and runs to me. And unless I embrace him, he trembles in fear. And when my little Gopal is hungry, he cries for food. And he won't stop crying until I feed him the milk from my breast. I know who my Gopal is, and my Gopal knows who I am. We know each other. We don't need Gargarishi to tell us who's who. He is simply my baby. That's all. And he could never be anything else. All I could say about what I'm seeing in his mouth is it just cannot be understood. That's all. But Gopal is my baby. And he's an ordinary child who needs me. And Krishna closed his mouth and smiled. And she completely forgot everything she saw. Why? Because her motherly affection became so uncontrollable that it totally covered the memory of what she just saw. And she fed Krishna the milk from her breast. This is Vrindavan. This is the Leela of Braj. And gopis, the supremest devotees, people of India and throughout the world, have too many misconceptions of the love between Krishna and gopis. It has nothing to do with the love of this world. The greatest sannyasis, Shukadev Goswami, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Raghunath Das Goswami. These great, great acharyas have all declared on the basis of scripture and parampara that the purest, highest, most condensedly ecstatic love of God, of all liberated souls, is the sole property of the gopis of Vrindavan. Because their love is totally selfless. Their love is exclusively for the pleasure of Krishna. And when you water the root of the tree, every part of the tree is nourished. To the degree we satisfy Krishna, to that degree we feel the highest happiness. The gopis of Braj give the maximum happiness to Krishna because of the purity and the sweetness of their love, the total surrender of their hearts. And therefore, there is no happiness that can even be compared to the happiness of gopis. Billions of times more intensified ecstasy of love of God than even to be found in the Vaikuntha planets. Yes, Lakshmi Devi, the highest consort of Vishnu in Vaikuntha, she was longing to enjoy the Rasa-lila with Krishna. She left Narayan to perform tapasya for that purpose. But she was not allowed in the Rasa-lila. This is in the Shastra. Why? Because she couldn't give up her feeling that I am the goddess of fortune. The gopis are churning butter, carrying cow dung on their heads. But their love for Krishna in their simplicity is so pure. Yes, the highest realm of spiritual love is the property of the residents of Vrindavan. And Janmashtami is the day when Krishna appears in this world to reveal the love of those devotees and the beautiful pastimes and qualities that he possesses to attract the love of his devotees. When Krishna appears on Janmashtami, he actually makes available to all living beings entrance into Vrindavan. But in the age of Kali Yuga, even though he reveals these pastimes and gives his message in Bhagavad Gita to attract our hearts, people are so crippled by material attachments and various diversions that very rarely can anyone really understand what Krishna has given us on Janmashtami. But the Lord is so kind. Namo Mahabharanyaya Krishna Prema Pradayate Krishnaya Krishna Chaitanya Namani Gauratvishe Namaha. Krishna comes right within the middle of Kali. About 4,500 years within the Kali Yuga, the Lord appears as Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who is Krishna tasting the sweetness of Radha's love and distributing it freely. Lord Chaitanya is Krishna himself, who is teaching us how to love Krishna, how to enter into the abode of Vrindavan, how to awaken that attraction for Krishna within our hearts through the practice of the Yuga Dharma. Nam nama kariba nija sarva shaktis. Kalikale namarupe Krishna avatar. That same Krishna has descended within this world in the form of the holy name. Golokera premadana harinam sankirtan. How wonderful. This Hare Krishna Maha Mantra is not just an ordinary mantra to invoke auspiciousness in our lives. The Hare Krishna Maha Mantra has descended from Goloka Vrindavan, the entire abode of Vrindavan, all of the wonderful loving devotees of Vrindavan, the beautiful forms of Radha and Krishna, the sweetness of the love of Radha and Krishna, the qualities of Radha and Krishna, are all none different than that name. And by chanting the holy name of the Lord sincerely, with humility and a nice service attitude and following moral principles. It's very easy. The name manifests Vrindavan within our hearts. The Purushartha Siromani, the crest jewel of all goals of life, is to love God.
Nitya Siddha Krishna Prema Sajya Kabunoi Sravanadi Sudhichiti Koriya Yodoy.
Love of God is dormant within the heart of every living being. It is our nature, our essence. It's simply forgotten. But the chanting of God's name awakens that love.
Yes, when Ramchandra appeared in this world, he killed the demon Ravana and Kumbhakarna with his bow and arrow.
Lord Narasimhadev, he did it with his nails. Hiranyakashipu. Lord Varahadev, when he appeared, he delivered Hiranyaksha, that great asura, with his tusk. But that same personality, Krishna, when he appeared, he utilized his Sudarsan chakra to liberate the asuras. But as Lord Chaitanya, he comes with the supreme of all his weapons, the weapon of the holy name. He doesn't kill anyone with his name. He kills the demoniac mentality within our hearts and awakens our divine nature. That is the power of the name.
Yes, Krishna reveals his pastimes and we understand what is Vrindavan, what is the goal, what is the substance, but how to get there.
It is simple, Lord Chaitanya taught. Just take shelter of this most joyful process of chanting the holy names. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Kevala Ananda Kanda. Lord Chaitanya's process is so joyful. Chanting, dancing, and feasting on prasad with wonderful, wonderful people who love to serve, who try to inspire us, who love to serve each other, encourage each other, inspire each other. His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada, he has taken this message and this culture to the whole world. And it is by his love that we have received it. On this day of Janmashtami, we should understand the supreme glory of Krishna's appearance. Because unless we understand the value of something, we do not take it seriously. If something's very rare, then we protect it very carefully. There is nothing rare. There is nothing more rare than the opportunity to love Krishna, following in the footsteps of the residents of Vrindavan. And Krishna is so kind that every year on a particular tithi or the day which celebrates the event is actually non-different than the day of the event itself. On Janmashtami, if we truly take advantage of honoring and worshiping the appearance of Krishna, Krishna appears within our hearts. That is our goal. By chanting the holy names, by living in proper association with proper good qualities, Krishna reveals himself within our hearts. Let this be our prayer on Holy Janmashtami, that we will truly dedicate our hearts and our lives for the pleasure of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and that we will take shelter of him who has so kindly appeared in his name. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Hare. And at this very moment, in this Bharatiya Vidya Bhavan auditorium, the Abhishekam ceremony of Sri Radha Gopinath will take place for the pleasure of all of us. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna.